Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Ron and Don Show. My name is Don Allen in Studio A, and in Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Good morning, Mr. Edwards. How are you on this snowy morning?
I can't complain. It's a Minnesota for real kind of thing, you know. I mean, I guess we'd all like to be down with some of the big leaders in Miami or the islands or, you know, the Caribbean and et cetera. But, hey, you got to have big money, man. Got to have big money. But, you know, leadership has big money. Got a lot of money coming in. Deal with the problems of mental health, if you will, stress, trauma, if you will. Don't forget trauma and et cetera. But, you know, hey, we're just here to report what's happening as we move into the Christmas holidays and New Year's. So what do we got, Don? What we got going? I understand it's a power play going on at the Sabathany Community Center. What's that all about, man?
Yes, one of our sources gave the Ron and Don Show a telephone call, and there seems to be a power struggle at Sabathany Community Center in South Minneapolis with a couple of our local black, I don't even know if I want to call them leaders. I'll just say nonprofit executive directors. I guess there's an opening there. I've asked one of the longstanding members of the board of Sabathany to give us a call and get our minds right and straighten us out, but I guess this is involving a gentleman by the name of Bill English and another gentleman by the name of Louis King, and we're trying to get details on that as we speak during the show.
Those two gentlemen are doing? I'm not quite understanding. I know the previous exec director was unceremoniously pushed out, if you will, in a coup d'etat, if you will, and I know there's been a lot of conversation about who would be the heir apparent, if you will. Are you saying that Dr. King and William English are they working together, or are they going to be a dynamic duo? What the heck is going on, Don? Give us the background here, buddy. Give us the background.
From what our sources are telling us is that both of them are vying, and then another source said that Mr. English is running interference for Mr. King, and I don't know if there's something wrong with Summit Academy and he would jump ship and go over to Summit Academy go over to Sabathany, or if there's just a some confusion going on. And if both men are trying to vie for that position, again, you know, in Minneapolis,
how many jobs can these leaders hold, man? I mean, God dang. Big salaries.
Well, you know, to go to Bahamas, that's expensive. Yeah, that's expensive to go to the Bahamas in the wintertime, you know? So you probably need a couple of them, like, high-power, six-figure jobs at these places, you know, trying to get into Sabathany and trying to get into these other places. And, you know, we have a kind of a circular recycling of these leaders that kind of block out, you know, some of the younger cats that are out there that, you know, are up and ready and got the fire and the tiger in their eye and kind of dismiss them and marginalize them. And so,
well, let me ask you a question here, Don, because the powerful spokesman recorder under the now leadership of the federal operative, Mel Reeves, are almost next door. Have they reported on the coup d'etat that led to the removal of a beloved executive director, or what? Have they posted anything, or what?
I haven't seen anything, and I'm actually, it's funny you should say that, Mr. Edwards, because I am on their website right now, and I don't see anything other than, you know, the NAACP doing their dog and pony show and not really attending to any business of anyone. And no, I don't see, to answer your question, no, I don't see anything. So,
oh, wow. And the NAACP is doing real good. I assume the NAACP Minneapolis will be giving out a lot of press Christmas presents and et cetera. They've got all of that. I guess it's now Google money. Initially, people were saying it was Comcast. Now they say it's Google, which is controlled by the Russians, if you will. I mean, really, on the international scene. So we've got this going on. And Dr. King, like I said, he's the empire builder. We should have him in that sitcom that they have called Empire, the music thing, you know. But what else we got, man? So hopefully your source will give us a call.
Yeah, we have that, and also the Native Americans are moving back into that encampment over there in South Minneapolis off Hiawatha, and that's a sad commentary to what's happening. And it was in the Star Tribune 27 minutes ago. They just posted it, and we talked about it in our production meeting that. And the mayor made a statement. The mayor came out and said, "This is the Coe land, so how is this trespassing?" Sean Phillips, the church minister, you know, there's some leaders that are they built put a teepee up over there, and I guess they're trying to get back in. And the homeless population, it says here, the board, Hennepin County Board, approved $1.1 million on annual spending to create a 30 to 50 bed shelter for women and expand case management service for them, but then again, if you look at the Star Tribune, Mr. Edwards, it says it has a picture of a beautiful, beautiful Minneapolis apartment building. And I guess the city council is trying to push these developers to have some affordable apartments in those buildings, these new, sparkly, upscale buildings. And, I mean, my question is, what is affordable in one of those buildings? So.
Well, maybe it's the 1,800 to 2,300 for a single bedroom there. I don't know. But are the government officials led by Mayor Jacob Fry saying that the Native Americans need to and should freeze to death in the cold and the elements of Minnesota as opposed to having housing? Now, I know that they just took over Augustana. And I was a little surprised that the good Lutherans let that go like that and just put the old folks and seniors just out in the cold. And they said they're going to have affordable housing in the Augustana facility there, which is just down the street from the people's big, the people's home, if you will, you know, U.S. Bank Stadium. Boy, that thing about the buildings downtown, I was in that area surveying, if you will, for some other publications and et cetera. Man, they built a lot of properties down there. You know, what got me with all the construction and et cetera going on, I'm not hearing from Louis King and others how many African Americans they put to work over the last 3 years in building all those new properties down there.
Mr. Edwards, in St. Paul and Minneapolis, earlier this week I had two appointments, one in Minneapolis and one in downtown St. Paul, and there's a lot of construction, wintertime and in the fall here going on in both cities. And you know, I just look, I drive by, and it's a habit, and I'm counting the number of Native Americans, Black Americans, Asian Americans, Hispanic, Latino, what I would look at the first glance, judging a book by a cover, of course, and I don't see any of these I don't see any of these people, you know. I don't see anybody that even, you know, resembles, you know, minority ethnic working on these. And one group was here from Iowa, had their trucks, their, you know, all their equipment right here. And it kind of shocks me because, you know, MnDOT and some other Minnesota agencies was making it clear that they would make sure that, you know, the people in the Minnesota had the first option. But, you know, again, the lowest bid always wins when it comes to that, just like the mess of DHS. There's going
to
be a mess.
Well, you can make a mistake, Don, and what you're going to have to begin to do, you and others, are memorize the Article 4 of the Constitution, which deals with the issue of slavery and the doctrine of three-fifths. All this conversation has been going on impeachment. I noticed that both sides, Democrats and Republicans, stay away when they talk about the beloved founding fathers. Those are the same founding fathers that imposed slavery on our ancestors, the sons and daughters of the African. And people, you know, always talking about doing this impeachment process, the wonderful founding fathers, what great thinkers and great individuals they were, and et cetera. I don't know what they're talking about, man, because no one has really had the heart, except maybe a program like this, to talk in terms that all the founding fathers did was make sure that there was free labor as America's economic base. Economic base, I repeat it again, expanded, and, you know, white folks and white landowners and et cetera. Again, I call attention to Article 4 of the United States Constitution, in that the people are always telling us about how we should understand the Constitution. Need to go back and read it. A lot of black leaders need to go back and read it. Three-fifths human beings. So I'm saying all that to say what you just kind of, the observation about people working. If we are considered to be nothing more than maybe, you know, than three-fifths of a human being, I just don't think we should have expectations that we have a future, quote-unquote, in the economic growth of the United States of America. You know, that was kind of the message that the black Israelites delivered in Jersey City a couple of days ago in that major gun battle. And by the way, those were two tough brothers in that gun battle, because they held in May over 200 law enforcement officers there in Jersey City. That was a heck of a gun battle, man. Went on for about 6 hours. But anyways, we're not supposed to talk about that on this program. I mean, you know, it's too toxic. We're too toxic, if you will. But to your observation about not seeing any people of color, you know, what the heck? We're just considered to be three-fifths of human. But what else we got, Don? Go ahead, man. Oh, by the way, let's do this. Phone lines are open, man. 347-426-3904. 347-426-3904. The Christmas holidays, Santa Claus is on his way. But go ahead, man, what we got?
Yeah, and we'd like to thank the people listening or watching and listening on Facebook Live. Mr. Edwards had just said the numbers, 347-426-3904. If you have a comment, suggestion, or just you want to ridicule us or challenge us, pick up the phone, dial that number, 347-426-3904. Mr. Edwards, it's funny you should say that about the Founding Fathers, because I listened on NPR for 2 hours, the impeachment hearings and process, what was going on. And my key thing that I was listening to, now the Founding Fathers, who said that we weren't even humans, black Americans, we were less than humans. We were property when the Constitution was written. The Democrats actually used what the words the Founding Fathers more than the Republicans did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our Founding Fathers wouldn't have had it this way. And I think that these black folks need to pay close attention to these keywords and this code switching and translanguaging that's going on, and understand what these Democrats and Republicans, for that matter, what they're saying. They're referencing a document that is the Constitution of the United States, which, as someone that former military, that, you know, I respect, but you also have to look at the nuances of where we were in history when this was written and how things have not really changed a whole lot. And we do have a caller, Mr. Edwards, unless you have a comment to that.
No, we'd like to hear the comments, because we are a country divided. Go ahead, get the caller in, Don.
Okay.
Well, good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. I'm assuming I'm on the air now.
Yes, you are, sir.
Jim, how you doing there? Happy holiday to you, whatever.
Well, same to you.
What we got?
Don Allen said something about nobody wants to challenge him and all that. Well, I definitely would challenge him on 45, because 45, now they're surrounding him. They got a plan, and they're coming at him from all angles, and he's falling apart. 100 tweets, falling apart. He can't stand it. He stays up all night tweeting people. They're coming around. And now, the Supreme Court said they want to see the tax records. It's a done deal then. When the tax records come out, it's a done deal. Okay,
and it won't be a ruling until June of next year. So in many regards, it will not be a factor in the election. And my sense is Supreme Court of the United States of America on a 5-4 vote will say they don't have rights to particularly in that he's still under audit. You know, that's the cover story. They don't have a right to the tax information on the 45th president of the United States. But go ahead. You have other thoughts here. We got a lot going on in the country.
Excuses are flimsy. But what I wanted to, and I'll get back to Mr. Allen on that, because we want to press him on 45 and his love of 45. But right now, go back to, you know, just a little bit of it. You know, we talk about our, the black institutions, NAACP, Urban League, obviously missing in action right now. But I want to bring up a name, and I think the listeners really need to hear this. I'm going to bring up a name to Mr. Edwards. And I'd like him to just say, when I bring this name up, what you think. And the name is Leola Seals.
Miss Leola Seals, now deceased. God bless her, and our prayers continue to go out to her family on her passing about a month ago. Leola Seals. You didn't know that yet, so I want to be careful on what we're saying, but Leola Seals passed from this life on the operation table, on the operating table in Jackson, Mississippi. Again, God bless her. Former president, to your question, former president of the NAACP of Minneapolis in the late 1990s before she was sandbagged to the ground, cut out from under. So, yes, Miss Leola Seals, God bless her. But go ahead, you had a question within the parameters of what I'm suggesting.
I did. Now, what you just led me right into it, because you said she was somehow usurped or pushed out of the NAACP, and as my research shows me, it was for someone named Rick Campbell. Now, do you know who Rick Campbell is or was?
Yes, Rick Campbell was a African-American firefighter, one of the first of the crew that came in under my federal tutorship, if you will, as the head of the committee reporting to the federal court in the integration of Minneapolis Fire Department. Ricky Campbell was a firefighter and obtained the rank of lieutenant, if you will. That's the Ricky Campbell that I know.
Well, how was his tenure at the NAACP? I mean, if he ousted a great leader.
He only lasted a very short period of time, and then Ricky, I think he took some heat from even some of his own peers, and Ricky Campbell moved on. In fact, I don't even know if Ricky Campbell still lives here in the Twin Cities. He was a native son, if you will, but I don't know. But Ricky lasted about a year and a quarter. It's interesting that you raised the question. Mr. Allen and I have to be careful on the historical pieces, because particularly in my case, folks say we're toxic. But you asked a legitimate question. You raised two names. One deceased, the other one, I'm not aware if they're still here in the Twin Cities. Ricky Campbell, former member of the Minneapolis Fire Department.
And I'm so sorry to hear that about Ms. Seals, because, as you know, she really took, she really went through the legal processes to fight for the African-American here in the Twin Cities. But it sounds like there was some type of a coup with some known players that orchestrated Mr. Campbell to get Leola out, get Ms. Seals out.
Yeah, that's what it was, which was actually carried out by the national NAACP in Baltimore, Maryland, / New York City. Yeah, there was a history there. In fact, unfortunately, because of my opposition to what they were doing, I was expelled for life. So we're having transparency, so no one can say that we're hiding anything. But because of my investigation as an NAACP member and exposure, I'm going to pass the name back to you. And that is Infomi. That's Infomi. National president, national director of the NAACP, and his role with the Reverend Alfred Gallman. Do you remember that? Do you remember that?
I certainly do. I heard Mr. Gallman may be back in town. I don't know.
He's been back for almost 2 years. Yeah. Was trying to put together a political coalition. I don't think it went too well. But back then, 1999, 2000, the coup took place. Ricky was there for less than a year, and then a whole group of young people. One of them was a guy by the name of Buckner. Don, you remember because at one point we thought that Buckner was related to some faction of Don's family, but he wasn't. And so you bring up some history that was very relevant in 1997, 98, 99, if you will.
I guess I'd like
there was an election. I was an election. I ran against a young African American woman who was I was allegedly defeated, if you will. There's a box still up there in Sabathany Community Center with 115 votes for me that never got tallied. But anyways, hey, you're bringing up the issues, and for anybody that wants to question it, go to the archives of WCCO in 2001, where they were talking about R.E. Edwards defeated for president of the NAACP. Hey, man, you're opening a lot of doors. People don't.
Well, but
they
I got just one more. This is very quick, and I'll turn the show back over to Mr. Allen. I'd like to hear more of his soliloquy about his love of 45. But the reason I think this happened in your defeat, Ms. Seale's defeats, was there was a kind of a groundswell in the community, or somebody was planting this in the community that was saying the methods of the 60s are outdated.
I was told that all the time. In fact, people still tell me that. I'm 81 years old.
They still say that. Yeah.
They tell me that.
But there was a groundswell then.
Yeah.
Somehow, this really permeated, which at that time, I mean, we were still, those 60s is what sent a lot of us to college. I mean, those 60s and the things we fought for got a lot of us employment. Our father's employment sent us to college, okay? So those methods were effective. They worked. And
yes, I always thought so. Yeah, but I was told it didn't. I mean, but yeah, I know a whole lot of people got a lot of good jobs. And et cetera. And by the way, a lot of those jobs are no longer available to the African American
community.
You. Most of these young folks out here don't even know that history existed. In fact, a lot of them don't know that what is going on now, and I'm talking about a couple of meetings this past week in which there was serious confrontation. Al Flowers was involved in a knockdown, drag-out battle with Stephen Belton of the Urban League. Flowers and the mayor of the city of Minneapolis went toe-to-toe Wednesday night. I mean, I'm just giving the dates, man, because people are pretending, and, of course, you don't get nothing from the spokesman recorder, except the communist version of what's good for Negro America. But anyways, hey, you raised some interesting questions. You raised some names. Let me again to the loved ones and heirs. Mrs. Leola Seals, God bless her, but yes, she expired. She died on the operation table. On the operation table.
Well, sorry to hear.
Jackson, Mississippi, heart condition, if you will. But hey, man, you brought up a lot of names. Maybe some of the people that think that we're toxic, Mr. Allen, will ask us to clarify. I love clarifying. You know. Oh, by the way, one of the people with the NAACP that was a big guy then. Was a guy by the name, leave this name with both of y'all, Bill Davis, Big Bill Davis, who's now serving time in the federal penitentiary. Well, we got a lot of convicted felons that have roles of responsibility, don't we? I guess that's the right of access and a claim. You got to go to prison first. From raping vulnerable black women. But I sometimes get carried away. We should be guarded on what we say.
We should. But the theme is for us not to know what brought us to today. To not know about this is recent history, things we don't know why our organizations are the way they are and why our city is the way it is. If we don't do research and, look into those kind of things, none of it makes sense to us. And we're kind of fighting
with
our eyes closed. You can't fight with your eyes closed, okay?
Yeah.
You have to really kind of know where you stand and, where the so-called enemy is. So that's why I'm appreciate your historical perspective very much.
Let me just say this. It's only fair, and the questions are being raised about history, and we're coming up on the traditional African-American History Month in February. You know, no one either talks, because people keep talking about the Urban League. You have to remember, the Urban League of St. Paul collapsed, went down in a cloud of corrupt dust. Ooh, and nobody ever talks about the Wilsons, you know, like they talk about the Biden. Uh-oh. And no one talks about the Wilsons, you know, former city councilman Billy Wilson, if you will, and his wife, who was executive director there after Larry Borm, oh, another name from the past, for about 12 or 13 years. And the reason I say that, I understand they just, didn't they tear down the building on Selby? The building used to be the heart and soul of St. Paul. That's what I thought. And nobody talks about former city councilman, 10 years in the city council chair, Billy Wilson, you know.
Yeah.
I know he had a couple of close friends. I know the late Joe Buchalter just thought that Bill was a guy you could always depend on to come by, oops, and make a purchase. If you know what I mean. But anyways, thanks, Jim. And we want to keep the phone lines open. Man, I appreciate you raising some of these names in the history. But again, Big Bill Davis, now serving time in the federal penitentiary. Remember, he was the darling of the Democratic Party. I have to say that I know it makes Mr. Allen feel good, and Mr. Allen's probably getting calls in the last 7 or 8 minutes as we've been talking. I can remember people were talking about Big Bill Davis could possibly even become the mayor of, well, at least the mayor of Cooptown, if you will. Bill Davis, you remember him. Serving time in the penitentiary, with his son. You know, he ruined the career of his son, who was a former Minneapolis police officer. Oh, but we're not supposed to get into history. I'm sorry, Jim. I went over the line. And we got a call coming in a couple of minutes, Jim, about the black Israelites. Ooh, folks ain't telling the truth how dangerous things are right here in the city of Minneapolis. Black Israelites, I got a text message, got a call coming in, Don, in a couple of minutes. Going to ask some questions of us about the black Israelites and their infiltration and establishing of cells here in the city of Minneapolis and St. Paul in 2017-2018. Hey, I hope that you like us. We are full of information and documentation.
Well, you are.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, all right.
Yes, sir. We have the producer says that it's our gentleman, our friend of the show from the Midwest, Steve. Go ahead. You're live on the Ron and Don Show.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Yeah, yeah.
Good morning.
Okay,
good morning.
For you.
Actually, I was just going to ask you about the question of the black Israelites, and have you had any incidents up there or any knowledge of black Israelites there in Minneapolis or in Minnesota?
Well, yes, we did, and I just made reference to that just minutes ago in talking to the caller known as M. Man, it's shocking to some folks, and there's some people here in the Twin Cities, because again, my computer shows you're calling us from way outside the state, in Redland, if you will. But yes, we had in 2017 a large contingent of black Israelites quietly came into the city, began to establish their quote unquote operations here, if you will. Through basically most of 2017, they began to just terrify folks. They basically had their operation in downtown Minneapolis. Mr. Allen and I earlier this today going over preparation for this morning's program. Mr. Allen even remembered that the black Israelites were oftentimes congregated. Very professional, reminded me of the FOI, Fruits of Islam, if you will, affiliated with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You know what I'm talking about, I do believe, sir. And what happened was there was a confrontation on the – see, again, people don't like for us. I know you're – you know, all you can say is that, wow, you guys really got it bad up there. On the evening of the 22nd of June, 2018 after the death of a young African-American at the hands of police on 48th and Camden. The next night, there was a vigil, and it turned into a near riot. Over 300 people had come to memorialize a young African-American, as we said, that was gunned down. One of the things that happened that evening is that two operatives for the authorities, particularly one who is now an editor for the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder, the other one is a minister. There was hand-to-hand combat that night, and there were a lot of folks that are listening in now, Steve, that were there that night, only because of the reactions and the strategy of the field directors, the black Israelite, that a couple people, Mel Reeves, the Reverend Brian Aaron, were not beaten into unconsciousness because of the role that they were playing in trying to control the questions that were being asked by the community with respect to the death of young Mr. Blevins. What happened was the black Israelites here in the Twin Cities went underground. And the word has been out for quite some time that it's been almost impossible to penetrate or to infiltrate their operations here in the Twin Cities, if you will. Within hours after the events in Jersey City, New Jersey, where two black Israelite military, quote-unquote, style gunmen held over 200 law enforcement officers at bay in a six-hour, and your staff in consultation with me earlier this morning confirmed that you have some of that information on your blogs and et cetera, but it's a six-hour gun battle before the two black Israelites. What is happening now, matter is being prepared in New Jersey by the U.S. attorney for the New Jersey, the state of New Jersey, again, the U.S. federal attorney, that they are already preparing to take information, evidence, and et cetera before federal grand jury. The Jewish community is insisting that there began a roundup of blacks, if you will, who are even thought to be sympathetic. Notice the word I use, sympathetic, to the philosophy and the doctrine of the black Israelites. But in order to understand their passion and where they're coming from, people better go study it. Now, as I said, we have people here who know just what's going on, and as we said, with regards to the confrontation on the evening of 23 June 2018, there are some folks that have their names on the enemies list. That's all I can say. Any other questions, sir?
Well, I guess I know here in the Midwest we've got several black Israelite groups, but this is actually normally I think of the Nation of Islam as more of a black nationalist type group.
Israelites are much more extremist,
Also, the other question I had was about the impeachment process. And, well, I kind of wanted to ask you, is this a good move, you think, politically for the Democrats?
The Democrats have handled poorly the entire process, and I think that there's a whole lot more. I hate to say it because I've got Mr. Allen there like a hawk on my shoulder. I think there's a whole lot more to Hunter Biden and the Bidens and Joe Biden, and I think the Democrats are keeping a lead. But let me say this, and I'd like to hear from my colleague, Mr. Allen, on this from the right. I think you're beginning to get a feel of Steve there in the Midwest. I think you're starting to get a feeling on why former President Barack Obama has not endorsed Joe Biden. Okay, think about it. The left media in the United States has tried to stay away from that. Now they got Giuliani coming back from the Ukraine with all kinds of information, be it clean or dirty. and they're going to drop some lugs on the Bidens. My sense is that let's say that we talk we talk again in February or March of next year, Joe Biden's going to basically drop off the Richter scale. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, I have to say this for both you and my colleague, Mr. Allen, and your research group down in the Midwest. In the discussion in the Judiciary Committee 2 days ago, a young white Republican from Virginia dropped a lug when he talked about the amount of money, including jewelry and liquor and et cetera, that Hunter Biden had received. And get this. A meeting in August, if I'm not mistaken, in Miami, involving members of the Chinese the top echelon billionaires who came to Miami to meet with Hunter Biden representing his daddy. And he received something like a $1.3 million diamond, if you will, for his girlfriend or boyfriend or whoever. But also, I mean, they even gave him a $3,000 bottle, you know, priced at $3,000 of wine and et cetera. The Democrats wouldn't touch it. The Republicans kept pounding on this. This would have been at hour four and a half, hour five of the Judiciary Committee, if you will. And you, I just don't think, sir, that you even begin to hear the real intel about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I say that over the air, and do not equivocate, and stand ready to defend and respond, because I've been researching it on this end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, so I'm kind of wondering, is that the way the game's played, though, do you think? In other words, they're kind of looking at it as though Biden might have a chance of being president, so they're already starting, sort of lobbying him. You know what I mean?
Why, certainly. Oh, that's an interesting question that you asked, because certainly that's the way the game, your question was crafted. Is that the way the game is played? Certainly it is.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah.
The Democrats' team of potential challenges for the presidency of the United States is so weak now. And by the way, the good old Democrats who we are loyal to, those of us that of the black Democratic community and the out there always vote for them, et cetera, they knocked the blacks right out the box. And Cory Booker knows he's through. And Sister, and just think about it. Just three months ago, Harris was at 17%. She was right up there behind Biden and Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and et cetera. Had to end an entire campaign. All of a sudden, she couldn't get no money. When you think about all of the money, gentlemen, that is floating around here, and Harris could not raise enough money to keep our operation going. That kind of tells you what both sides, Democrats and Republicans, are saying. We're not going to have another Amos and Andy president. In other words, code word for we're not going to have another black president.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, exactly.
So your question, if I read it right, sir, I don't know if my colleague, Mr. Allen, has any questions or you have any questions to him. Feel free to ask me any of them. But what the Democrats are going to wind up doing is taking a ghost Republican, Bloomberg, and he's going to get the endorsement in what would it be, June, July, at the Democratic National Convention.
Oh, wow.
Edwards,
Steve, if I could just interject here.
Yes, sir.
No one's really looking at the timeline of Hunter Biden. They're saying that, he's not a factor in this impeachment thing and all this other stuff, but I would have concern, and I'd like to draw your gentleman's attention to December 2013, when Hunter Biden's firm inked a $1 billion private equity deal with the Bank of China, which was later to expand to $1.5 billion in Chinese. And it said he was a son at the time of a sitting president. And
Vice President.
Shortly after Biden's trip to China. And even though he wasn't a teacher on it, it still leaves a lot of questions. And so there's a timeline here on the New Yorker that just has a detailed history. And I think if you get down to the core root, I don't think there's anything wrong with a sitting president asking another country, you know, to look into this, because this guy is sitting here and he's making money hand over fist in countries that are in conflict, basically.
Let me give you an example, Mr. Allen. You're absolutely correct, because that was an interesting discussion, because I've been monitoring almost to the minute the Judiciary Committee, the Intelligence Committee, and et cetera. It's interesting that you said that, and the reason I'm identifying this particular person, because he is still alive, though he's in a bunker prison outside of, in the Everglades, actually, outside of Miami. You know, when the decision was made by Bush 1 to crush the regime, General Noriega, then strongman of the government of Panama, when that decision was made in the United States, military paratroopers and the thing and et cetera were sent in, and hundreds of black Panamanians, that's who they basically killed, black Panamanians. And I call attention to anybody that's got their computer, go back, take a look at conflict in Panama in the 1990s, and you see all them black Panamanians that were laying on the side of the road that were killed by American airborne troops. They were 101st and 82nd. By and large, when preparation was being made for the invasion of Panama and the end of the regime of Noriega, because Noriega had what, gentlemen? He had all that information about the United States' role in the drug market and the relationship between the United States and Colombia, okay, the government of Colombia, and how they were initially funneling. You know, poor Mexico really didn't, in 1990, 91, 92, they really didn't want to be involved in the drug action until the United States said, this is how we're going to bring the drugs in. We can bring in greater volume by coming in through Central America, up through Mexico, across the so-called southern border than we can, and putting it on ships, because then we have to play the game of making it appear that we're searching ships and such. This country had no problem with the president of the United States at that time, Bush, dialoguing, plotting, and planning with the presidents of Colombia, if you will, Costa Rica, Honduras. It's one of the reasons that the United States fell out with the government of Nicaragua. I take you back to, I know, gentlemen, that we all know this name, Ali North. And what was the name of the group? The Contras. And I leave it there. I don't want to, we got other calls. But just want to say that to Steve and his people in the great Midwest, you really want to do some research, sir, about how America's government interlocks and interfaces with other governments and destroying other people. And then the audacity, as my colleague Mr. Allen was saying, the audacity of saying that there was something that rose to the level of impeachment. because Donald Trump was on the telephone with the Ukrainian president, and he was saying, look, I need some information on Biden, both of them, all of them, okay? We're just not honest in this country, gentlemen. But I turn it back to you, Don, and any questions, additional questions you may have, Steve.
I'm going to have to leave here in just a second, but I just wanted to ask you as a historian about Barbara Jordan and her role in that impeachment of Richard Nixon. And do we have any Barbara Jordans now, or do you see any in Congress on the Democrat or the Republican side? No.
No. And sir, I watched her as a younger African-American in those committee hearings of 1973 and 74. With a white congressman by the name of Sam Urban of the Carolinas. Yeah. Barbara Jordan was a supreme and superior person. 37 years old when she made that speech. I think Mr. Allen has it on his computer. It was called one of the greatest speeches of modern times and of this century and the next. But Barbara Jordan was a giant and a legend. By the way, also remember that she was the first African-American elected to the Congress of the United States from the state of Texas since the days of dealing with allowing the Negro to function within government. I just cannot indicate to you the greatness of Barbara Jordan. I find it amazing it took the Democrats, quote unquote, so long to recognize this legend, this woman of tremendous greatness, who should have, by the way, and I remember how that discussion came up, that she should have been a legitimate candidate for vice president to run as vice president of the United States in the election of 1976. But yes, there's nobody, gentlemen, that could hold a candle. That's just my estimation. There's no one. I'm a scholar and follow closely Barbara Jordan, as many of us, my generation did, as she participated in the impeachment of Richard Nixon. But to your question, sir, I hope I answered it with the level of clarity and respect for Barbara Jordan, God bless her, is that she was a great American, first and foremost. She was a great American.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Allen, go ahead, man. If we have anybody still holding, I mean, but give them the number. Feel free to give us a call.
That number is 347-426-3904. Again, the number is 347-426-3904. And the phone lines are wide open. We don't have anybody holding, but we have plenty of folks in the queue. Just come on over, and we'll hit the line, and we'll answer your question or let you ask the question. I am amazed by Barbara Jordan at this point. I'm actually looking at 1974. One of the key things I just read, I scanned the whole thing, and what stuck out to me is one thing that she said. She said, the Constitution did not make the accusers and the judges the same person. That's powerful.
Yes,
that's
sure
powerful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you have to look in history, you have to read this stuff, and I think, you know, not disliking the Democrats or the Republicans or anybody, but just looking at it, the Democrats are going to take a hit on this. You know, they're going
to
take
a hit. I'm afraid you're
right,
Tom. As much as I hate to say it from the left, yeah, I think you're absolutely right, buddy. That's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I hope they're prepared. And these black folks in America walking around talking about Trump, this, I don't care what you say about him. That's your personal opinion. You can have your opinion like you can have your elbows and your knees. My thing is that make sure you're being factual about what you say. Look at the economy. Look at read the phone call transcript. You know, just don't read something off Facebook and go in the public because you look ignorant, number one, and you sound ignorant. Number two, make sure that your specificity is matching up with the Constitution of the United States and follow the timeline. Okay. They don't have a bribery. Yeah. One of the impeachment articles is not bribery. Okay. That's what they were going with in the beginning. And all of a sudden that disappeared off the table. So out of all these things they were accusing the president, they could just come up with two, abuse of power. And what was the other one? It just doesn't make any sense.
Obstruction.
President Trump invoked executive privilege to not have any of these people come talk to them. And he doesn't have to. That's in the Constitution. So come on, give me a break. I'm looking at this. I'm like, oh, no, this just, they're going to take a huge hit because people are going to walk away. And what they're trying to do is make sure he doesn't run in 2020 or can't run in 2020. But in reality, they're going to put him right back in office.
I'd like to argue with you, but it would be superfluous and would not be consistent with my own thinking and history and et cetera. The Democrats have got a problem. They're hiding the Biden Jr. situation and Big Daddy Joe. You know, I mean, I watched him go off in that meeting in Des Moines. He was kicked, man. You know, he really wanted to call. I mean, that was a good, you know, Democratic constituent when he referred to him as Jack. By the way, that's a little bit of slang. Yeah, Jack. You know, and I thought, oh, look out now, Joe. You know, but Hunter Biden. Now you laid a date out there, 2013. See, the Democrats have tried to move the needle back a ways and say that things really didn't start until 2014. But I have to give you credit for your research because Hunter Biden was doing some things as pertains to carrying water for his daddy. You know what I mean? I just hope that the Democrats can come up with somebody out of the pack. You know what I mean? But I tell you what, it won't be nobody black. You know, mm-hmm. they did a very clever thing. They had the polls. They fixed the polls up. Like I say again, you got it right there in front of you on your computer, Don, and I'm looking over. And at one point, Harris was at 17%. She was only a couple points behind Elizabeth Warren and Sanders and them. And all of a sudden, her whole operation collapsed. And anytime information is fed to the New York Times and the New Yorker with regards to what's happening inside of your quote unquote operation, that means you got moles. That means you got some deep agent provocateurs, if you will. But we in Black America must understand that the cake is being baked for us. And I do not want Mr. Allen, you know, I said to you in the production meeting, don't dismiss what is happening with these Black Israelis. I mean, Black Israelites, if you will. What happened in Jersey City, just because the media, you know, decided that wasn't something that we needed to have any information on, that caught the Jewish community and law enforcement in New Jersey and the surrounding area, caught them off guard, man. And these brothers have been planning and working and organizing and familiarizing themselves with, and I hate to say it like this, Don, with urban warfare. Okay.
Yes.
Just because CNN and MSNBC and even Fox and them are not enlightening us with regards to this, we got serious problems here, man. We have real serious problems. This country is greatly divided. But there are young Black warriors out there who are saying, hey, you know, we can't have a part of it. We can't be a piece of it. Let's just tear it apart. And so you know, and I know, Don, we've talked about it in the production meeting. You've got fanatical whites on both sides of the ledger, and you've got some fanatical Blacks, young Blacks, that are ready to go. In fact, if I'm not mistaken right now as we talk, the Joint Chiefs of Staff are really concerned about the stability. And you are a former military man, just like I am, if you will. I was, a lot of people don't know I was drafted in 1962. There's a problem, buddy. The Russians and the Chinese and the North Koreans. By the way, North Koreans exploded another nuclear device early this morning. You know, the little rocket man has determined, and, you know, Don, he's found the weakness of the president and everybody else. And so we're going to have a lot to talk about as we go into the holidays and et cetera, but that's what it's about. Isn't that what they say talk radio, blog radio is about?
Yeah, getting that information out there. Exactly, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, Mr. Edwards, we're not hearing much about Venezuela and the Russians in the news.
Go ahead, Donnie. I'll
help you
do that. Go ahead.
And, I'm just like, I know folks that are from there that are telling me that their families are in terror down there from what's going on. But we haven't heard a drop of news on the national, local, or anything about what's going on in Venezuela. It's a state of emergency.
Well, what happened, Don, is that when Donald Trump kind of carrying away was waxing and keeping people diverted, when the Russians and the Chinese told the American government, see, I know they don't like for you to talk like this because, you know, the United States is the superpower. But when the Russians and the Chinese, who were pouring, in fact, they've already made a sitcom, isn't that amazing, a movie, which will be released, I think, next Friday or whatever, you know, to talking in terms of how the Venezuelan government of Maduro has been reinforced, if you will. I think over 2.5 million Venezuelans have fled Venezuela. And actually, they're trying to come north. They're trying to come through Colombia and then through Central America up through Mexico. And if some of them people get into the United States, but you are correct on the serious note of innocence, is that it is absolute terror. But what has happened is that both Russian and Chinese military personnel are and have been for the last 4 to 5 months inside of Venezuela. And that's the reason all that tough talk, remember 5, 6, 7 months ago about where we'll go in. See, as you know, as a former a member of the United States military, the United States, it doesn't fight well in the jungle. And as those who, God bless them, gave their lives or gave their service in a place called Vietnam. Okay. By the way, on that note, we would be remiss, Mr. Allen, if we did not talk about our black brothers and sisters that are being killed in black Central Africa, okay, in Niger, in Cameroon, in Nigeria, in Mali, in the central state of Africa, in Uganda, Rwanda, and et cetera. I mean, these brothers and sisters run around here talking in terms of the homeland and the motherland. They don't say nothing, do they, Don, about the black Africans that are being killed by American military forces, okay?
Mm-hmm.
No one says anything about that. So there's a lot that is not being talked about. I guess if, you know, and I know you're not a sports fan, but I am. I guess if they can keep us watching football, basketball, hockey, you know, tennis, whatever, that'll keep us distracted and it'll be business as usual. But say a prayer for the black sons and daughters of black Africa, Central Africa, if you will, because American military forces are in there and they are killing black people. And nobody says nothing. In fact, we may be able to get some kind of response from Steve and some of his research people in next week's program. But I don't know, Don. I know we're down to the last minute or so. You know, all we got is James Brown taking us home.
Yeah, and James Brown would do that just fine. He'd love it. We'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. It's 10:27, and those that are tuned in on Facebook Live, we appreciate it. We'll be back next Saturday before Christmas for a special Christmas program. We thank you for listening, and you're listening to Ron and Don Show. Any last words, Mr. Edwards?
Yes. You say we're at 10:28 right now. Again, we want to also factor that we need to hear from people like Al Flowers and that group and their confrontation with Mayor Jacob Frey in the council chambers this past Wednesday evening in downtown Minneapolis. Our Tribune didn't write nothing about that. They moved some tables around, my brother, and then the confrontation at UROC involving Steve Belton and people supporting Al Flowers. Take care, man. All right.
Yep.